1220 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub is officially underway right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, soon to be live streaming video on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Coming up a quarter past the hour here on the show, we're going to talk all things Northwestern football. Yes, football talk in May. Well, this is kind of that time of the season as spring sports season wraps up with golf and tennis and track and field, that we're starting to round that bend to a certain degree where it's basically all on the table. We can talk a little basketball, we could talk some football, baseball, all of the above, and we're certainly reaching that time of the year. And you know what? Looking forward to that discussion with head coach Clayton Randall here in the next 15 minutes on the program. We'll talk some track and field as well, high school boys tennis, as the State A tennis tournament underway out west in Rapid City. After day one, Aberdeen Roncalli sits in the number 8 spot, and we'll talk about that. Girls golf yesterday, not quite called, but I guess you could say it was sort of called, if you will, after 9 holes of action, as the NEC girls golf meet was held there yesterday, as Aberdeen Roncalli played half of it, as did the rest of the field. They continued to play very, very solid golf. We'll talk about that. High school softball and much more coming up today on the program. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are things with you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby, although I could definitely use this first sip of coffee, though, for sure. I'll tell you that. Oh, man, that's good. That's good stuff. Just not a great night's sleep last night. Kids are making noise. Took me a while to fall asleep. I'm tossing and turning. It's hot. My wife's got the heat on. I'm like, what are you doing turning the heat on? What's the matter with you? She's like, well, it's supposed to be cold. I'm like, oh, man, I love a nice cold room to sleep in. So, I don't know. A little bit sluggish here this morning, but onward and upward we go.
Yeah, happy to be here. You mentioned Clayton Randall joining us. Also a track and field coach out there as well. So he's obviously getting ready for the football season, but he's doing some good things on the track and field, getting those, you know, kids running well as well there on the track and field side of things. So wearing multiple hats there for Northwestern.
I don't know how much coaching Ella Bucklehide needs, but I mean, maybe sharpen the iron a little bit, fine tune some things, because when I think Northwestern track and field, I just think Ella Bucklehide. That's the first name that comes to my mind.
Absolutely, and I don't believe she played basketball this year because she wanted them to focus on track and field, and she's putting up some great numbers, and I'm sure we can talk to Coach Randall about that later on in the show. But, yeah, when you think of Northwestern track and field, that's the first name that comes to my mind as well.
No question. He's going to be joining us here in the next 10 minutes with the guy that we call the Cobra, Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Thanks again for joining us. It's our daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And coming up on Wednesday, tomorrow will be our final Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub. Looking forward to that. That's not to say we're done talking Northern Athletics for the year, but it's just the final designated day of a Wednesday. I'm sure we'll have Coach Schmidt on and Coach Wilbur, Coach Paula Kruger. I'm sure at some point in time in the not-too-distant future that new swimming coach will be joining us as well when that gets announced, and all of the goods that go along with Northern State Athletics later on in this spring and summer. Also on Thursday, we'll be joined live in studio by the soon-to-be head coach of the Redfield Area Pheasants girls basketball squad, Dawn Seiler. Yes, that's right. That's breaking news, as it came out there yesterday that Dawn Seiler is headed down south to Redfield to be the new girls basketball head coach there for the Pheasants, as she was retiring this year at Aberdeen Central as the AD, and now next year a part-time gig there down south in Redfield in Spink County, the new head coach of the girls basketball squad, Dawn Seiler.
And a lot of winning she's done in her years coaching. I saw what was a second all-time in girls basketball for coaching, so she's taken that experience to Redfield, and I'm sure the Pheasants are certainly happy to have her just with the experience and the culture that she's built in girls basketball. I think it's going to show as soon as year one, maybe a couple years. So I'm excited to talk to her, kind of what influenced the decision to go there and everything else. So looking forward to that on Thursday.
Looking forward to that indeed. And, you know, when I think of South Dakota basketball coaches that have won and won and won, and you have historic numbers of that, the first two off the top of my head are Kurt Fredrickson at Northern State and Dawn Seiler at Aberdeen Central. I mean, right here in Aberdeen, we've had two historically successful coaches.
Yep, and I think it's just going to – you're going to see Redfield next, you know, next year, maybe not so much from, you know, win-loss percentage or anything like that, but I just think you're going to see her culture and what she expects year one, and then as that program just continues to grow. But you're 100% right. I mean, when you think of Aberdeen girls basketball, women's basketball, those are the couple names that you think of. And I'm sure Redfield is super jacked up to have somebody with Coach Seiler's resume experience, you know, coming to coach that girls basketball team.
So that discussion coming up on Thursday, looking forward to that. Sticking on the basketball side of things, this was sent out yesterday by Warwick Workouts, that Clark Willow Lake's Sully Felberg has received his first D1 offer to SDSU. Of course, he's still a young pup. You know, we talk about Sully Felberg, and at least I'll speak for myself. I think of this junior and senior that's going to be up and coming, and he's going to be getting a lot of looks, and that certainly may well be the case. But he's still only a sophomore, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, he's going to be a junior.
Right. So, yeah, he's a sophomore right now, going to be a junior next year, so I mean, he may be one of the more highly touted basketball players in the state next year.
That won't be his first Division I offer, I'll tell you that right now. And he's going to have a lot to choose from. And I mentioned it when he was a freshman. Like, if he could just fill in to his 6'8", 6'9", frame, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come. And that was the thing that stood out to me when I saw him earlier this winter. Just the weight, the muscle that he put on, he seemed like he, instead of absorbing contact in his freshman year, you know, maybe settling for outside shots, he was really taking it to the hole. And we talked to Coach Nesham a lot on the program over the winter, and he talked about his development. He's just going to continue to get faster and stronger, and that won't be the first D1 offer. Now, it'll be interesting to see which one he chooses when he's a senior and it's all said and done, because, you know, will he stay local with South Dakota State or will he go somewhere else? I mean, I won't be surprised to see him. You know, I don't want to have high say, hey, if you don't go to the Big Ten, I could see him being a Big Ten player. I think he's that good.
No question. And I can't recall if we talked about this or not, but, you know, you talk about local athletes staying local. Sometimes local athletes go Big Ten or Pac-12 or Power 5 or Power 4, I guess now. Can't recall if we talked about this, but your boy, not really your boy, but maybe he'll be your boy after 4 years there, hopefully, you hope, is Cooper Terwilliger from Pierre. He's going to be a Nittany Lion, your old alma mater.
I was jacked up to see that. And seeing him live in person when I was doing Aberdeen Central a couple of years ago, I mean, both times that I did Aberdeen Central stuff, he put on an absolute show. Like, he was unguardable, and to see him commit to Penn State was pretty cool for me, at least. I'm like, hey, I've seen this kid live. There's probably not a lot of people from State College and PA that really know much about him. Mm-hmm. I do. I know a little bit about him to be dangerous. And I know he's a dang good football player. And Penn State and tight ends have been very successful. Now we'll have to see under new regime with Matt Campbell, with James Franklin, under the James Franklin tenure, tight ends have usually been pretty good. Mike Gesicki, Tyler Warren, who's playing in Indianapolis. So they've had Brenton Strange for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So a lot of great tight ends have come through University Park there at State College. And when Cooper Terwilliger committed, I said, I'm pretty jacked up about it. So congrats to him.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, that environment, Beaver Stadium, it's going to be absolutely electric for him.
Yeah, this would be like Loyal Smith-Wade or Brooks Jett going to Marquette. Just super jacked up about a guy that you know, local player, going to your alma mater, which would be very, very cool. So you sent me something yesterday, and I was like, man, this was going to be a part of the jump yesterday. We just kind of ran out of time. Is the transfer portal. I mean, we can do an entire week if we wanted to on the transfer portal, but you sent me something yesterday that was so poignant. On the football side of things, 62% of Division II football players that entered the transfer portal did not land anywhere else. 79% of D3 athletes that went in the transfer portal did not land anywhere else. And football in particular are just absolutely nuts with these numbers, that only 38% of D2 athletes that go into the portal come out of the transfer portal at a new institution. And the numbers are out. The numbers aren't good. If you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, maybe it might be, but I'd say
no,
they're not. Pretty wild.
Yeah, those stats were just bananas to me. I got them sent to me yesterday night, and I saw that I immediately sent it to you because this is what we've been talking about mm-hmm. for the last couple months on this show, maybe not even months, years, when we talk about the transfer portal. Those numbers aren't favorable for the players. And my whole thought process is, do guys maybe head to the transfer portal because they want to be done with playing football, but, you know, they don't want to say, I'm officially done playing football, so they go to the transfer portal, and then they quote-unquote retire.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thought.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, that's possible. I mean, I'm sure that number is more than zero. But I think that a lot of these guys think, hey, you know, the grass is greener. I think about a guy like Keegan Mountain. He did come out on the other end of things where he goes to Eastern Michigan. He's there for a couple days. He's like, you know, the culture is not what I want it to be. I think things are actually doing okay back in Aberdeen. Hey, Mike Schmidt, would you still have me back here? And obviously that door was always open. They had a great mm-hmm. conversation, great relationship. And, you know, you don't burn bridges, so you are welcomed back with open arms. But, like, even if you do make it out on the other end, that doesn't necessarily mean you want to stay at that place.
And how many Keegan Mountain situations are there? Like, burning bridges on the other side. Like, ooh. You mentioned it, like, a guy transfers. Does he have that same relationship that he did with the previous coach? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, does he have that opportunity to go back? I feel like that doesn't happen very often. I could be dead wrong on that. But that's I'd be interested to see how many situations or scenarios are like similar to the Keegan Mountain where like he has an opportunity to come back, whereas another guy might go to the transfer portal and doesn't have that opportunity to come back. I'd be interested to see what that looks like.
100%. And back when Saul Phillips was the head coach for the Northern Men, there was a player that entered the transfer portal. I can't recall his name off the top of my head. I'd know it if I heard it, and I do think I know who it is, but I don't want to give false or misinformation. But went into the portal, didn't find anything, came back to Coach Phillips, and Coach Phillips was like, hey, I'm going to go to my teammates here or go to the team and see if they welcome him back with open arms. So he kind of put it on the team to say, hey, you know, it's okay with me, but, you know, if it's not okay with the team, then, well, you made your bed. You kind of have to lie in it now.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
And I would think that situations like that, probably greater than zero. That probably happens.
That probably happens. I feel like that maybe happens more so on the basketball court because you're only dealing with, what, 12 to 15 guys?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on the football field, you got a team of, what, 80? I don't even know what the roster is in college, but I'm sure it's a lot. I could be dead wrong on 80, but there's a lot more guys you got to deal with on the football field. But that's pretty – I feel like when you talk about it, especially on the basketball court, just because – this guy comes back, think about this on the basketball. I mean, it's same with football, but think about this. Like, you're a guy who's been just trying to work his way into the rotation, and you feel like, hey, I'm a junior. I'm coming up. I've been with the program for a couple years. This is my time to shine. And then, oh, wait, there's a kid in the transfer portal that transferred from the school that wants to come back. That's a sticky situation there. That's a tough situation to be in.
I would be highly angry. If I were that kid that put my time in, I have dedicated myself to this, to this team, this institution. I've done everything right, and now you've got a guy that is 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yep.
That would rub me the wrong way, 100%.
That's tough. That would be a tough situation to be in as a player. Because you want to be a team guy, but there's also that ego personality that I want to be out on the floor. I've been putting, like you said, I put in the time over the course of the last couple of years. This is my time. I look at a guy like Gus Reedy, for example, who was coming through the ranks, and then he was able to play, was it 2 years? He played a lot. So, I mean, that's just an example of somebody sticking with the program. You know, wonder if a guy in the transfer portal came, and then next thing you know, he's not in the rotation. So that's just an example, but that would be a tough situation to be in as a player, because you want to be for the team. You want to, because majority of the guys are probably thinking, hey, he'd be a great addition. But then there's that, hey, I want to be out there as well. I put in the time. I deserve an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a fascinating discussion. And at some point in time this summer, maybe we talk to some of those student athletes that were in those situations. Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub continues on this daily sports talk show thingy we got called going on around these parts. It's been going on for over a decade, as long as I've been here. And in August, in 3 months, that'll be 11 years. So it's a daily sports talk show for a lot of years, that is for sure. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be joined on the phone line by Clayton Randall, head coach of the Northwestern track and field squad, as well as the football squad. Coach, good to talk with you here on a Tuesday morning. What's up? How are you doing?
I'm great. Finished up the school year and got a couple weeks of track and field left. So it's been fun to be part of the Northwestern school and the athletics for this year.
Well, that's just it. This is year one for you. Not quite in the books at Northwestern, but pretty close. I mean, I think you can take a look at the growth and maturation process of a lot of these student athletes, and we'll take a look back at that, I'm sure, at the end of the season. But to this point, you know, how have you kind of, for lack of a better term, assimilated to the culture there? Have you created the culture there at down in Millett?
Well, good question. There's been a lot of success here before I got here, and so to say I created it, that would be a false statement. We're trying to replicate it, though. I think if you hear Northwestern, I think most people think volleyball. And if you take a stroll around our gym, you can find out why. There's many, many banners and double-digit state championships. And so that was one thing that drew me to Northwestern, was if they can be successful in that, why can't we be competitive and successful in everything? And so I'm trying to do my part to help spread that culture throughout the classrooms that I'm in, and also the sports I'm involved with.
Yeah, and you talked a lot about that in our conversations, just how you're trying to establish competitiveness, maybe not so much in a game setting, but in the practice field, in the weight room, obviously on the track and field side of things. And have you feel like that's developed, you know, since you started at the beginning to maybe now with some of these athletes, now that you built relationships with them?
Yeah, another good question. You guys are heavy hitters right away here. Compete, that is on my door every morning when I walk in. It says compete, every rep matters. And the rep is everything. It's competing in school day to day. Just compete in everything that you do. And I truly believe that competing is a habit that can be developed. And when it becomes a habit, lives change. And so one reason for getting involved in track and field is it's competitive, and every kid that goes out for track and field can find some events to compete in. And they get on the field or they get on the track every meet. You know, they don't have to sit on the bench. When you're in track and field, you can get out and compete. And we measure everything. We time everything. So there's always numbers that kids can be chasing. And our kids have been fun to watch this year. We've got a lot of kids that are continuing to establish new personal bests. And with 2 weeks to go, I'm optimistic we'll get more.
Clayton Randall joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, head coach of the football squad as well as the boys track squad there at Northwestern in Mallette. And that's kind of a perfect segue into continuing to develop that culture as that competition. I feel like track and field, not necessarily above all else, but in the springtime, it's you versus kind of yourself to a certain degree. You know, whether that's the hurdles or the javelin or the discus, it's the numbers don't lie. You're either putting in the time or you're not, and sometimes you see the results, sometimes you don't. Maybe it's super windy. We've seen days like that here this spring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you take a look at that sport in particular, doesn't it almost feel like that competition within yourself, how much can you get kind of amped up for meet day and practice day? That almost, it feels like that's one of the sports in particular where there's just so much of that internal competition. Is that fair to say?
Oh, for sure. You don't have to do track and field to compete in other sports, but I do think every other coach keeps an eye on what the kids are doing in the track and field. So as a football coach, I'm certainly keeping tabs on our kids that are in track, just watching them compete. And like I said, it's a habit. You learn how to compete in track and field, and it can carry over into everything else, including football. And so, I mean, it's been fun to be a part of. We got a couple other coaches who share a lot of the same values. I'd like to mention them. First-year teacher and coach, Allie Jackson, came to us from Northern, a college athlete, so competitiveness is part of who she is. Holly Randall, our elementary principal, also my boss at school and at home. She is helping coach the track and field team, works with our sprinters and also a college athlete. So again, competitiveness is in her genes. And then Chris Bucklehide is, if you're familiar at all with Northwestern, that's a name that has been involved in many sports, and she's coaching our long distance. She also coached cross country. And so we've got a good group of coaches who all value the same thing: show up, do your best, learn how to compete. And it's been an enjoyable year.
I'm curious, you know, you coached track and field at Harriet Selby too, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I had a couple stints there. I did a little basketball and a little track and field. Under an awesome guy there who just, his total focus was to do everything in his power to get the kids better. And I do wish Coach Yoakum and them success as they wind down their season here too.
Yeah. And I was just curious, kind of, how did you get into, you know, track and field? Is that something you did growing up as well? And you were like, I know you said, you know, you mentioned you wanted to get into coaching, obviously, and those kinds of things, but, you know, track and field, at least where I'm from, you know, it wasn't like, hey, you're playing football and you're playing track and field. You know, where I'm from, it's you know, a lot of kids played football and baseball or football and lacrosse.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah, it's kind of just not the biggest thing on the totem pole, if you will, when talking about high school athletics. So maybe how did you get involved in it?
I grew up in Warner, and at that time, spring baseball was not a thing. And we had a good group of coaches and kids, and the mindset there was compete in everything. So a lot of the same kids did all the sports. You know, maybe most three sports, some did them all. So you did football, and then you went from football to basketball to track and field. And then we played baseball in the summer. So I got involved with track and field early. I guess the main reason was my brother did it. He's 2 years older than me, and so whatever he was doing, I wanted to do. And so got involved in track and field and liked it. Saw some value in not only track and field, but the way that our coaches trained us. We were getting bigger and faster and stronger, and that worked pretty well in everything else. So track and field was kind of the thing to do.
Clayton Randall's our guest on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Kind of a potpourri, a little track and field, a little football discussion here. And, you know, you take a look at your first year in the books for football, and we were following Northwestern game. I mean, we always do. We always follow this team and all the local squads. But, you know, this year it felt like we had an extra eye on Northwestern and what have you. And, you know, obviously not the results that you're looking for, but definitely progress, I think, you know, from Friday night to Friday night, you know, every given week, that it was kind of a building process. What did you make of the fall here for the football squad? And how do you kind of parlay that into taking the next step this summer and into this upcoming fall?
I guess I should start by saying everything here went good enough, and I believe in the kids and what we're doing enough to come back for another year. So I'm officially signed up for year two at Northwestern. I'm excited about what we're doing. We have a lot of things that have to be done before we can start keeping track of the scoreboard. And so this year was a lay a foundation that we can improve upon. And our kids here, they met the bar. They met the expectations of everything that we were trying to do. And we gave them measurable, tangible goals. They went after them. And so we did the things that needed to be done in year one. And now we can increase our goals and our expectations heading into year two. I guess we finished school on Thursday. We started our off-season training on Monday, and we had enough kids get in and be productive to say that we got a win on day one of summer training yesterday.
There you go.
Yeah, do you feel like in year one, Coach, that it was more about, like, teaching them the fundamentals and those kinds of things, and you talk about, you know, building the culture and thing. You know, do you feel like you can maybe be a little bit more advanced in year two, or what's your thoughts on that?
We had a lot of our first year was try something and then learn what we need to do in order to actually be able to do what we were trying to do. So then back to the fundamentals, you know, just football is blocking and tackling, and whoever does it better, and then they're bigger and faster and stronger, they have a better chance to win, right? So we're working on, I mean, we know what it takes to win. We've got coaches who have been part of successful programs at some point in their life, and we got a good group of guys put together. We know what it takes to win, and one thing now is moving into year two is we've given our kids every opportunity to get them competitive, and now it's their choice to show us who's in and who's out. And so we won't be guessing next fall when it comes time to determine who needs to be playing where, because our kids will have a bunch of opportunities this summer to show us who's ready to go. So year two, maybe not so much more complex, but we're going to start with a much better knowledge of who we have as players and coaches, and really hit the ground running, where last year it was kind of just figure it out day by day.
And you saw that competitiveness and success a little bit with the basketball team. I mean, they had a really good year, and I'm sure a lot of the kids that were on the football team played basketball, and they won, I believe, 14 or so games. So just, and I know it's a different sport, but seeing some success maybe in that other sport could propel something there on the football field.
100%.
Is that fair?
Okay. Seeing them compete and have a good year in basketball is exciting, not only for the basketball team, but for everything. And Coach Redman, he's been here 10 years, been working really hard to establish a good culture with the kids, and they play hard for him. He and I are aligned in what our kids need to do this summer. So whether you're a basketball player or a football or a track and field guy, we've got a training program in place to develop athletes down here. And it's nice to be on the same page with him, because we are trying to develop the same kids. And winning in one sport, it becomes a habit that can carry into the next one.
No question. Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. Is Clayton Randall here on FSA, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM. If you can believe it, we're about 3 months out, almost to the day before, does it, considered week zero or week one? I can't recall how that all works out
week
in the high
zero.
School. Yeah, week,
right.
zero,
week
there
zero.
You go, against Warner. But I'm looking up and down the schedule as it is out right now across the state for all these teams. You've got Leola Frederick at the LRC Classic. That is going to be at Dakota Bank Stadium. Kind of a cool matchup there against the Titans. How did that come to be?
Oh, that's a great opportunity for our kids to compete in an awesome venue. And so very thankful for all the work that went into that. I do believe that Jeff Costers, head football coach and athletic director at Frederick, and Dean Berry, associate athletic director at Northwestern, they worked hand in hand to come up with this plan, and then all the athletic directors for the LRC schools put some work in to make it happen. And so there's three games that day, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. Great chance for football fans in the Hub City to come out and watch some high school football at a great place in Dakota Bank Stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the opportunity for your kids to play, you know, at that venue and a Division II facility and things of that is, you know, I'm sure, is that one that you got circled on the schedule? I know, you know, we're very far away from that game, but is that maybe something that you had circled, you know, when that came to be on your schedule this upcoming fall?
Oh, certainly something to highlight. Our schedule is LRC teams are typically pretty competitive, and so every one of those games is a big game for us. All sports, straight across the board, if you can compete with the teams in the Lake Region Conference, you'll be competitive. I mean, if you, I was reminiscing about the season, or not the season, but the year in LRC. Volleyball had second and third place at the state B tournament. Mm-hmm. Cross country had first and second. So Warner Northwestern, second and third in volleyball. Ipswich and Northwestern, first and second in cross country. Warner, Faulkton, Ipswich, deep playoff runs. Girls basketball, Warner and Ipswich go to the Kodak 16. Boys basketball, Aberdeen Christian's on a heck of a run to state tournaments. And then track and field, you'll find Lake Region Conference athletes and teams in most all the events, and some of them will be standing on the podium. So if you can compete in the LRC, any sport, you can expect to be competitive on the statewide scene. And so for us, yes, we're excited about playing at Dakota Bank Stadium, but that's week three. We're looking at Warner. Warner's our first chance to compete this year, and our goal is to be a much different team than everybody saw last year. So August 21st, Warner at Northwestern. That's what we're gearing up towards.
Well, technically it's week two, Coach, against Leola Frederick because of that week zero. But that's neither.
Oh, you're right. Week two.
Yeah.
Yep, you got me.
That's neither here nor there. Well, continued success there down in Millett at Northwestern's place. Thanks again for being a part of the program, and thanks again for doing this. I'm sure we'll catch up later on this summer.
Well, appreciate you guys covering all the sports. You're fun to listen to.
Are we recording this? Are we recording this? Can we make that a sounder?
We gotta make that a sound.
You're fun to listen to. We'll take that. We'll take it.
Coach, you guys are. You're entertaining.
Yeah, we'll take it. Coach, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's head coach Clayton Randall here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I think we have to make that a sounder. You guys are fun to listen to. We'll take it. I think we're fun to listen to, but having coaches actually say it, that makes it all worthwhile.
That's good stuff. And Coach Randall doing a heck of a job there at Northwestern. And you know, this is a team and a program in all sports that I feel like they're finding that competitive edge that you need when you walk in between the lines, whether it's track and field, whether it's on the basketball court, and hopefully what we see on the gridiron as well. And they built those – I feel like, you know, he mentioned it, they couldn't really look at the scoreboard last year because you're trying to build winning habits in the off season. In practice, those kinds of things. So I think when you have guys that want to compete against each other, and I think in track and field, it's, and you actually talked about this, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it may be, I'm getting my days all mixed up, but, you know, seeing that guy next to you or gal next to you, you know, that can light a fire under you a little bit. And it's one of those things where you want to beat that person and said, meet or something like that. Mm-hmm. You got to have that same mentality when you're looking at a guy 6 inches in front of you, you know, who's trying to make a play on the ball, and you're an offensive lineman or you're a wide receiver and there's a cornerback in front of you and he's trying to deflect the ball or intercept it from you. So I think those kinds of things play a deep role into what they're trying to do, and, you know, happy to see that those kids are bought into what they're selling.
Did you ever see Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket back in the day?
Yeah, I did see that.
You know, when Sergeant Hartman is going through the line in that opening of the movie, he has a line that says, "My job is to weed out all non-hackers."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's the job of a coach, to figure out who is going to compete at the highest level. Because if you don't want to compete in practice, forget about game day.
Yep.
Especially at the high school level. Yeah, it's kind of a different story at the D1, high D1s, and probably in, you know, some pro sports and what have you. Like, there's probably some guys like, I really don't need practice today. But particularly at the high school level, if you don't want to compete in practice, you're not playing on Friday night.
Yep.
Okay? You're not playing on Tuesday night in Warner or wherever it is for a high school basketball game. If you're not competing in practice, you're done. See ya. And that's the coach's job, is to weed out all of those people that's they're not into it. But, you know, if you want to have something special and build a culture, build a program, build success, you have to have guys like that on the high school track and field side of things. You bring them along with you for football,
yep.
And maybe you have something. Maybe you win a game. You got to have some sort of positive momentum. You need to have tangible results at the end of the day at some point to continue to believe that you got something. And I think they're on the right track.
They're definitely on the right track of that. I'd be interested to see, too, as well, maybe kids that didn't play football this upcoming fall but did track and field that might go out for football this year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're going to see that number increase as well. I'd like to see what that number is when we talk to Coach Randall, you know, later on down the line this summer, but that wouldn't surprise me either. But you got to have that competitive fire, and I think they're building towards that there at Northwestern, and just kind of wait and see how it all happens.
No doubt. Fun discussion there with Coach Randall. We'll talk some golf action next. It was kind of a rain-soaked, windy-soaked sort of day, wind-ridden day, I guess you could say. And to be quite frank with you, I was even surprised they got in as much as they did. We'll talk about that and more coming up next on the Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues for a Tuesday on FSA. We mentioned it yesterday, high school track and field, the Dial-A-Move last chance meet that's been postponed to tomorrow. Hamlin invite was canceled there yesterday. They did get about a half of the NEC girls golf in yesterday in Groton. It was chilly, it was rainy, it was breezy. I love golf, but even you wouldn't find me on the links there yesterday. But, you know, these girls, job well done for them. Aberdeen Roncalli, they would defeat the field. They defeated the host squad, Groton, by 24 strokes. Sisseton there was in third, Milbank in fourth. Redfield did not finish there. Individually, four of the top five finishers were Cavaliers from Aberdeen Roncalli. Grace Sire, your medalist, as she carded a 5 over 41. They played the first half. They got 9 holes in before they said, okay, this is a little bit much. Sisseton's Kensley Heath was 2 strokes off the lead, a 7 over 43. Rest of the top five, you had Cavaliers abound with Claire Crawford in third, Mackenzie Wegehop in fourth, and Morgan Helms rounding out the top five there. Just a miserable day to be playing
golf. Yeah, it was miserable. I'm actually shocked they got some of this in, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe that they got it out. Outside, I'm like, oh, this definitely is postponed or canceled. And then I checked it. I'm like, wait, they got some of this in? That's pretty unbelievable. And Grace Sire, a 41, are you kidding me? In those conditions. I mean, she was on pace for an 82.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's really, really not bad at all, given the conditions and wind and rain. We went to go pick up the kids yesterday. It was 45 degrees, and the wind was howling at 25. The rain was not quite sideways, but pretty close.
Yes.
So, I mean, to go out there and even get in 9, I'm with you. I was shocked they even got that far.
Yeah, and the fact that 4 of the 5 are Aberdeen Roncalli Cavaliers, I mentioned this, I think, last week, just goes to show how deep this team is. They got multiple golfers that can post scores, and obviously Claire Crawford and what she does, as well as Wegehop, is having a big-time year, but I mean, Grace Sire finishing first. You look it down, Ava Danielson. Jorgensen has had some really good finishes as well. So they come at you in different ways. I think if we talked to Coach Murdy, he'd probably say, hey, one is good at specific, like they all are really good at a certain aspect of the game. And that's really why you see them on the leaderboard every week.
And you can check out more details on our website, hubcityradio.com, there. And from the Sisseton perspective, we had Coach Heath on the program on Friday. And Kensley Heath, she would finish in second place. And also you had Elliot Hortness there of Sisseton, tied for eighth place, a 13 over 49. So he went in there quite confident. And these girls, I think they heeded his message, and they both had pretty solid days.
Yeah, he mentioned it to us on Friday. I think he said it on the air. He was hoping that thing got moved to a different date
right. Because
of the weather.
That's right.
Because he was feeling pretty good about that going in because they just played there. They finished second, I believe. And he's thinking to himself, hey, if we get some decent weather, they move this, we could really do some damage. And they still did pretty good in the conditions with Hortness and Heath having big rounds.
No question. State A tennis tournament officially underway. We'll take a look at that and wrap up this Tuesday of the Hub after this. Sports Hub continues for this final segment for your Tuesday installment of the program. Our thanks to head coach Clayton Randall for taking some time out of his schedule to join us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen earlier. We'll talk about the State A tennis tournaments out west there in Rapid City, which of course was moved indoors there yesterday because of the really not so nice conditions. I looked it up there yesterday from the yesterday's conditions, that is. Low to mid 40s, some mist, some rain, strong winds, not necessarily what you would call ideal conditions. So day two will be later on here today. We'll talk about that here in just 1 second. But first and foremost, we have some breaking news. So I must have to go to our breaking news randomizer, our sounder. Pow! There you go. That's Scott Langer. Little pow.
You know, that was really good.
Yeah, it works out.
That's a good breaking news. We got to use that more.
Outstanding. You called it yesterday, Cobra, and you were Johnny on the spot. The Twins are officially moving on. Well, not moving on, but they're optioning Royce Lewis to the minor leagues. They'll call up Orlando Arcia. You were talking about him yesterday on the show. You said, at some point in time, this guy's got to figure it out.
Yep.
Well, he's going to be figuring it out there in the minors.
Well, hitting 163. And the big number that I think Twins fans are really struggling with is the 37 strikeouts
this
year.
Yeah, that's a
lot. And I just think he's got all the potential in the world. We saw it early in his career. He's dealt with some injuries. And let's see, is he 100% healthy? Who knows at this point? Probably not. But the Twins made a decision, hey, you're going to have to figure it out, but it isn't going to be here with the big club. You're going to have to figure it out in the minors. I think he'll eventually come back up, but not surprised to see it. Didn't play well against the Brewers, and that might have been the final straw with the organization where, like, hey, we got to maybe get a spark somewhere else, and let's bring somebody up, and you're going down.
So the Twins optioning Royce Lewis there to the minors and just some time maybe away from Target Field to a certain degree and see how that all plays out there for him. Again, the State A Tennis Tournament out west in Rapid City. Day one is in the books. Aberdeen Ron Colley sits in the number 8 spot right here and right now. You like that pow sounder, don't you?
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, nor did I. That's our breaking news randomizer. Got to appreciate that, no question. So for the Ron Colley Cavaliers in doubles play in particular, a pretty solid flight one and flight two. Both the flights will go for fifth place here today. Flight one doubles will go for fifth against Lennox, and flight two doubles will go for fifth place against Huron. A 1-1 day yesterday for Ezra Feikert, and the consolation crown will be either Feikert's or Lucas Height of Pier. Flight two singles, Liam Vohl went 0-1 yesterday. Linus Johnson went 1-1. He'll go for the fifth place semis today against Klee Toe from Huron. Flight four singles, Caleb Stokes going 1-1. He'll take on Micah Schmidt from Rapid City Christian in the fifth place semis. Zach Coates going 0-2. He fell to Henry Schulte of Vermilion and also falling to Nolan Grabo of Milbank, 8-0. And flight six singles, Cody Niederbaumer going 0-2. More details on our website, hubcityradio.com. Tomorrow, Cobra, is our final Wolves midweek of the year.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Chase Sturm coming on the program. Excited to talk to him and his journey to Northern.
And also Coach Kaylee Ness, the Sturminator. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour tomorrow.